Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army family, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch. Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Melody Warnick, author of This Is Where You Belong, The Art and Science of Loving the Place You Live. The average restless American will move 11.7 times in their life, which is many and even many more times for military families. For Melody Warnick, it was move number 6 from Austin, Texas to Blacksburg, Virginia that threatened to unhinge her. In the lonely aftermath of unpacking, she wondered, aren't we supposed to put down roots at some point? How does the place we live become the place we want to stay? This time, she had an epiphany. Rather than hold her breath and hope this new town would be her family's perfect fit, she would figure out how to fall in love with it no matter what. So be sure to connect with Melody on her website at melodywarnick.com. That's MelodyWarnick.com. Over on Twitter at twitter.com/MelodyWarnick or on Instagram at instagram.com/MelodyWarnick. Stay tuned. We have a great show ahead for you tonight.
And we're glad you're here to hang out with us this evening. I'm your co-host, Crystal Niehoff. Today is Monday, June 13th, 2016, and this is show number 568. Be sure to stay tuned because later in our show, we'll also be giving away a copy of her book, This Is Where You Belong, to one lucky winner.
If you're listening to our show live, join our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Ask questions of our guest, comment on the show, or just hang out with the AWN Core Team. Head on over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use the hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio Show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with the TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-MET-TDP-1. That's 855-MET-TDP-1, and you must enroll. It doesn't come automatic with your TRICARE health insurance. It is an optional enrollment, so be sure to head over there and enroll.
But before we get to all the fun tonight with Melody and listening to our great show sponsors, I would love to get caught up with Crystal. I actually got to see her and meet you, Crystal, for the first time last week face-to-face. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And we felt like, I mean, I just felt like I already knew you. So it was just natural meeting you.
just talking at that point. Yeah.
That was fun. So, and you have the most adorable little girl. She's 3 years old, and she's just a doll.
Thanks. She is something else. I think firecracker. Somebody called her a firecracker, and I think that is a great way to sum it up.
Well,
so
she's a doll.
What were you? Tell our listeners what you were in town for.
We were in town, I was in town, and I was meeting you at the airport. You were coming back from my old stomping grounds, but we were in town for Mill Spouse Fest 2016 at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. We partnered as media partners with Military One Click, and it was so fun. It was so neat. to meet military spouses from all walks of life. We met. I mean, it was really a joint community. You know, I was expecting Air Force because I know it's also an Air Force base and an Army base, but I met Navy spouses, Marine spouses. I mean, it really was a neat and united community, and gathered together to have fun and learn some things along the way, and met some neat people from USAA and military by owner, and we also recorded sound clips that we'll be playing throughout the summer from, I got a really neat interview with Jen Pilcher, the founder of Military One Click, and also JJ and Maggie from USAA, and military by owner, and then different attendees that were willing to share their thoughts and insights on the day. And so we have a summer full of sound clips to just kind of excite you for the Military Spouse Fest coming up this fall. And so it's going to be fun. And it was just such a great day. What did you think of it, Sherita?
Oh, I had a great time. Just, first of all, of course, meeting you and meeting all of everybody else. But it's like, people are my jam. That's what I love. And so I love, like, the online thing is great for me because it's very portable, obviously, for what we're called to do as mill spouses. But I really enjoy the events where I get to get out there and meet face-to-face with real folks. Plus, probably one of my favorite parts, because I'm weird like that, was those nifty little AWN retractable earbuds that you got. I felt like I was officially like the demo girl all day, just walking around being like, look at this cool stuff, I'm such a nerd. But yeah, so that was, I had a great time. I mean, I was tired because, like you said, I just flown in from Kansas the night before, and you know, I can't party like I used to, especially with that firecracker toddler of mine, but it was so good. And I just want to say thanks for including me in that, and I'm so glad they came to JBLM. It was just a blast for sure.
Oh, it was such a beautiful post. It was so fun. Thank you for being my chauffeur. And I had such a great time. And it's just such a beautiful post. And everybody's so friendly. It was just such a great day. So you flew in from Kansas. And most people don't know this, but we didn't know it initially. We kind of discovered along the way. We're both Kansas girls. Both from Southeast Kansas. And so what were you in my home state for?
Well, I was back in Kansas. I try to go home at least once a year for maybe an extended amount of time just to hang out with the fam and see my peoples. But I was back in Kansas for my 10-year Kansas FFA state officer reunion. So it was like a leadership team that we did for a year back in college and traveled around the state, spoke about agriculture and leadership, and did workshops and all those shenanigans for the, back then it was 7,400 Kansas FFA members. Now it's up to 9,000, which is super encouraging. But it was so good to see some of those folks just because, you know, my Army wife life doesn't let me get home like that very often, and it's really hard to connect with 5 other people throughout the entire state on just a short trip. But I was able to see several of them, and we got some pictures and had the reunion at convention. So I had a great time. It was really fun, but I'm super glad to be home just because, you know, this home, because it's way cooler as far as temperature and there's less bugs, which I appreciate all the time.
That's true. And it was so neat. I saw a video that you made with the wheat field in the back. Kind of made me homesick. My family still lives there, so I'll be heading back that way this summer. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So I also heard, I saw kind of on Facebook, you've got some super big news to announce. Yes?
I have some super amazing news. Yes,
that was so
I'm
cute.
So
that
excited.
Was the cutest wheel ever.
It was so cool. I talk about my granddaughter, Lexi, but she was actually my step-granddaughter, but she's 6 now, but she's been a part of our family since she was 2, and she is just my girl. As she reminds me so much, it's funny, it's my daughter that married her father, But she reminds me so much of my daughter when she was that age. Curly hair, the chubby cheeks, absolutely adorable, with quite the spunky personality. I mean, she's a firecracker. Let me tell you, and she does not meet a stranger. She can she talks to everybody. But we got some exciting news in that my daughter was able, kind of unexpectedly, to officially adopt Lexi last Sunday. So we're so excited to have Lexi officially part of our family, but she has been in my heart for years now. But it's just there's something special about having the judge to sign that on the dotted line. And I have a heart for adoption because I've adopted myself. And so adoption is just a beautiful gift to any family. And so we're excited. We're so excited. Now we're planning an adoption party for my daughter and for Lexi to celebrate. So we're excited.
Well, congratulations, Grandma. I'm super happy for you. That is so funny. You do not act or look old enough to be a grandmother, by the way. I feel like you're my sister.
Oh, thank you.
So.
Well, thank you. I kind of feel it after this last trip, but normally I don't feel as old as I am, although I don't think I'm that old, but kids keep you young, because I still have young ones at home, so they're a blessing.
Yeah, I feel you.
So what else is going on?
Well, we are trying to, I feel like I need to, like, our PCS is coming. We still got a couple months, but I feel like I need to get my tuchus in gear and start painting the walls. Like, I've had paint for, I think, since the beginning of April or the end of March, and it's literally, I mean, I have it, so that's the first step, but I have yet to, like, do anything with it because life has just been ridiculous. And so I'm trying to engage in Operation Paint All the Walls so we can move across the country. But I'm not really sure when that's going to happen. It needs to happen sometime before the middle of August. So just, I don't know. If you guys have tips on painting motivation, I think it's a lot like running. Like, you just get really intimidated, and it's just it seems way harder than it actually is.
Right.
I know once I start and get all the mess out, I'll be like, oh, this isn't so bad. I can knock this out in a couple days. It's fine. But I'm just like, no. I just want to sit on the couch, just stare at the wall, and just chill out because it's just been a really busy year. But I'll get there. So, yeah, we'll make it happen. But on that note, I think it's about time for us to take a really quick break. But listeners, stay tuned, and we will be right back.
We know military life can take us lots of places, and we can vote from all of them. Go to fvap.gov and select your state. There, you and your spouse can fill out the FPCA form to register and request your absentee ballots. When your ballot comes, vote and send it back to your local election official, and you're all set. Visit fvap.gov to get started.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Well, one of our hot topics this week in our military community is the Army officer from D.C. who won the Miss USA beauty pageant last Sunday. The newly crowned Miss USA is a 26-year-old Army officer from the District of Columbia who gave perhaps the strongest answer of the night when asked about women in combat. As a woman in the United States Army, I think we are just as tough as men. As a commander of my unit, I'm powerful, I'm dedicated, Deshauna Barber said. Gender does not limit us in the United States. As the winner of Sunday's 2016 Miss USA competition held at that T-Mobile Arena off the Las Vegas Strip, Barber will go on to compete in the Miss Universe contest. Read more over at www.stripes.com/Army Officer from DC wins Miss USA beauty pageant.
had on AWN this week, AWN experience blogger Bridget shares her struggles to stick consistently to a running regimen in this candid blog post, Running to Embrace the Sec. After other attempts to run regularly before falling back into old habits, it seems that Bridget has finally found a system that's working for her this time around. In this post, she shares her personal insight as to why she feels this time is different, offers great tips and advice, and admits that sometimes we just have to learn to embrace the suck. There's just no other way. You can read more of this blog post at armywifenetwork.com/learning-to-embrace-the-suck.
Hot on Instagram this week was our graphic, Army Life, A Reason for Pride. When are you appreciated for your sacrifices as a military spouse? Do you feel appreciated? In what ways could someone show their appreciation to you? Share with us on Instagram.com/taken-by-army-wife-network. Crystal, how do you feel appreciated as a male spouse?
I like events like Male Spouse Fest. I feel that that helps to make us feel more appreciated. Or when people just realize that we make sacrifices too. You know, it's not the same caliber of sacrifice that our spouses make that are serving, but, you know, the frequent moves, uprooting our children and ourselves to move to a new community and being far away from family. So it's just those, it's the little things, I think, nothing major, but just the little things when somebody says, hey, thank you, or just recognizes that we're making sacrifices for our spouses. How about you?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I just appreciate it when people are really supportive. Like, I don't mean the rah-rah shish-kumba and the pomp and circumstance and the dog and pony show or whatever you want to call it, but I just appreciate it sometimes when people say thanks. Like, you know, thanks, like, cause people, like, I'll say, you know, if I ask for a military discount because, hey, why not, you know? But and they'll say, oh, are you serving? And I'll just kind of say, no, I'm just a cheerleader. But it's always really cool when they say, well, thank you for your support of your spouse.
Right.
That just really encourages me
right.
because it really feels like people kind of get it a little bit. So,
right.
Yeah, I just really like it when people kind of pep talk me a little bit because, hey, male spouses need pep talk too.
Yes, and sometimes it's hard to feel encouraged and you know, you just kind of feel discouraged sometimes. So I think it's awesome when people just recognize that. And it doesn't really even take much. It's just a little thank you or just friendship, your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so anyway, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Army Emergency Relief announces new website. The Army Emergency Relief announced the creation of a new website, which will allow soldiers and families to apply for assistance online from the convenience of their own homes. From AER's new website, apply online for interest-free loans, grants, and scholarships for soldiers, retirees, and families. AER is the family's own emergency financial assistance organization and is dedicated to helping the Army take care of its own. AER financial assistance is conducted within the Army structure by mission commanders and garrison commanders through AER sections located at U.S. Army installations worldwide. To learn more or to submit an application, visit www.aerhq.org. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's own New 6th Gen, bringing you the need-to-know news stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Jen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. Experts worry that the high rate of suicide in the U.S. military is the new normal. 7 years after the rate of suicides by soldiers more than doubled, the Army has failed to reduce the trend. The sharp rise in the Army suicide rates from 2004 to 2009 coincided with unusually heavy demands on the nation's all-volunteer military, as hundreds of thousands of troops, most of them in the Army, deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. While the vast majority of those soldiers have returned home, suicide rates remain high. The Army's suicide rate for active duty soldiers averaged at about 11 out of every 100,000 troops from September 11, 2001 until shortly after the Iraq invasion in 2004. It more than doubled over the next 5 years and has remained largely constant at 24 to 25 per 100,000 troops, roughly 20 to 25% higher than a civilian population of the same age and gender makeup as the military. 7 years of relative stability at these profoundly higher rates may well be the new normal, said David Rudd, president of the University of Memphis, who served on a panel of scientists that reviewed military mental health programs and issued a critical report in 2014. Rudd worries that a sense of heightened concern that gripped Congress and the Army when military suicide spiked has dissipated. You don't see any significant outrage about it now, he said. Scientists still don't know exactly why suicides increased so dramatically in the military. Major studies have shown no direct link between the deaths and being deployed overseas, and suicide increased even among soldiers who did not deploy. Carl Castro, a former military behavioral health research chief, said the Army has never conducted the kind of peer-reviewed studies necessary to see if its suicide prevention programs actually work. Pentagon officials say that is changing. Adam Walsh, director of research and program evaluation for the Defense Suicide Prevention Office, said a series of new programs enhancing peer support, suicide prevention training, and interventions are being evaluated. Senator Bob Menendez is looking for a way to officially honor military working dogs and their handlers. The senator wants to create a commendation for military working dogs and their handlers. The New Jersey lawmaker says his legislation would create the Guardians of America's Freedom Medal. He made the announcement Saturday during the 10th anniversary rededication ceremony of the United States War Dog Memorial in Holmdel, New Jersey. Menendez said the commendation would recognize the valor and meritorious achievement of the highly trained and skilled teams. It would be issued by each branch of the military. Military working dogs have served on the front line since World War I and continue to take on growing roles. Menendez said that today, military working dogs serve on the front lines, detecting improvised explosive devices and leading search and rescue operations. They also locate casualties, guard supplies, and patrol secured perimeters. The Senate has rejected a plan to privatize some commissaries. On Wednesday, the Senate blocked a pilot project that would have privatized a handful of military grocery stores to test whether it could save money. Lawmakers voted 70-28 against the test after Senators Barbara Mikulski and James Inhofe said it would threaten a cherished benefit. The pilot project's top defender, Senator John McCain, charged them with distorting the debate and standing in the way of more choice and better prices for military families. Commissaries feed our troops. They help military families stretch their budgets, and they provide jobs to military spouses, teens old enough to work, and military retirees, Mikulski said Thursday in a release statement. And commissaries are the military's most popular earned benefit. Congress is looking for ways to reduce expenses in the $1.4 billion the government pays annually for the chain of 243 commissaries that operate worldwide. After months of study, the House of Representatives approved a bolder plan for the stores in April as part of its version of the annual defense budget. The overhaul plan by Representative Joe Heck, a brigadier general in the Army Reserve, would adjust commissary product prices depending on the region where they are sold and allow the Defense Commissary Agency to sell products under its own label. A final decision will likely be passed later this year in the annual defense budget. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch.
And I'm your co-host, Crystal Niehoff. Tonight we have with us author Melody Warnick. A freelance journalist for more than a decade, Melanie Warnick has written for Reader's Digest, O, the Oprah Magazine, Red Book, Better Homes and Gardens, Woman's Day, Parents, and the Atlantic City Lab.
Melody is currently obsessed with Hamilton, libraries, quirky small towns, the Great British Bake Off, pandas, murder mysteries, Spotify, Evernote, zoos, bookstores, hiking, and food that involves sugar. I feel like Melody and I would be fast BFFs. She lives with her extremely nice husband and two daughters in Blacksburg, Virginia. Welcome to the show, Melody.
Hey, it's really nice to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we would love to get to know you a little bit more. We so appreciate you taking time out of your evening to hang out with us. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, I think now that you know about my love for pandas and sugar, it feels like that's all we really need to know, right?
Right.
So I'm calling. That's the most important thing. I'm calling from Blacksburg, Virginia, which is in Southwest Virginia, and it's a little town of about 43,000 in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which you may never have heard of unless you have heard of Virginia Tech. But we have a great downtown with some cool shops and restaurants and an old historic movie theater and concerts on the lawn in the summer, and it has become a great place to live. It may not have always been a great place to live for me, and that's kind of what I'm here to talk about tonight. But I grew up in Southern California and moved around. We've lived in Maryland and Utah and Iowa and Texas, but this is where I am now with my husband of 17 years and have a 14-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old daughter.
Oh, neat. So having moved around so much, you definitely can relate to those of us military spouses who move frequently. Would you tell us about your project and why you decided to start it?
Yeah, I actually feel like you have me beat on the moving front. When I talk to people and I say, I've lived in 5 different states, they go, whoa, that's so much. And then you talk to someone who's in the military and they say, I've moved 10 times. And you go, okay, you win. But moving, no matter why you're doing it or where you're moving, moving can be really difficult and all-consuming. If you are in the middle of a move, or like you said, Sharita, if you're preparing for a move, it can feel like the thing that takes over your life. So I ended
right.
up,
yep.
you know,
sorry,
I just,
stop.
It, that's yeah. it. That's what you do. That's mm-hmm. what you think about. So I had that experience having moved a few times, and in particular this last time moving to Blacksburg, Virginia, feeling really overwhelmed and kind of wondering why it hadn't worked out for us in our last time. We kind of kept moving, thinking, oh, the next town is going to be the perfect place for us. We're just going to find that magic place where we're just going to love it and everything's going to work out. And we moved here from Austin, Texas, which is kind of a town where people say, oh, you're from Austin, Texas? I've heard how cool that is. And
right.
we liked Austin a lot, but for some reason it never quite felt like home. And so we moved again. And then we moved here to Blacksburg, and it also didn't feel like home right away. There were things that I hated about it. And I wanted to figure out what happened to make people feel really happy where they lived. What made people feel rooted? What made a town click for you? And I ended up writing a book about it, and the book is called This Is Where You Belong.
Cool. So when did you realize there was a need for this book to help others with learning to love where they live?
Well, I think, you know, I'm sure if you're in the military, you're surrounded by this all the time. Everyone you know is moving. You're moving all the time, every year. And I felt like that, and still kind of feel like that, that the people I know and myself are moving towns a lot. And if you feel that way, you know, that I'm moving a lot, and if you're in the military, you undoubtedly do feel that way. You're not alone. About 12% of the American population moves every single year. That's about 38 million people. So it's something that a lot of us are struggling with and trying to make work. And so, you know, thinking about my move to Virginia, I knew a few months in advance where I was going, and I would spend hours Googling the town and trying to figure out, you know, what the best schools were and the best neighborhoods and, you know, where we were going to eat and what our lives were going to be like. I used to pull up Google Maps and look at the street view and try to imagine, you know, I'd never been to this place and try to imagine what it was like. So I think it's a struggle to move. Moving can be chaotic and it can be lonely right. and frustrating. And I think that's a really common experience. And when I felt it really hardcore this last time, I really wanted to know why that happened and how I could make it a little different for myself. how can I move to a new town and actually feel happy there and end up wanting to stay instead of immediately, you know, getting back on realtor.com and plotting my next stop.
And I think that that translates to, even though we have orders, our spouses receive orders and we have to move to a certain spot, that kind of I go and teach new duty station, and I may be disappointed or excited, but there's always that exciting aspect of it's a new place, and then you get there and maybe it's not as grand as you had made it out
right.
in your mind. So how did you research this book?
Well, I started out with some old-fashioned scientific research, you know, looking at articles that had been published about this, and I learned that there is a term for that feeling of rootedness that people get when they feel like they're in the right place, when they feel connected to their town, that feeling of, I'm at home here. And it's called place attachment. And researchers from all different fields use place attachment to describe that sense of at-homeness. And so once I knew about place attachment, I could look at these articles and figure out, you know, what has science showed us about what this feels like, why it's important, and how we develop it. I also, you know, after doing some of that initial research, I wanted to see place attachment in action. So I actually did some trips around the country. I visited 8 different cities, from Portland, Maine, to Fargo, North Dakota, to Sierra Vista, Arizona, to see how people related to their town. And then I, you know, took what I had learned and I applied it to my own life. I did what I call love where you live experiments. And they were just kind of little actions that I could perform in my town here in Blacksburg, Virginia, that I thought would make me love my town more. You know, I was here. The reason we moved here is my husband got a job at Virginia Tech, and we knew we'd be here for a while. But I'd never lived in the South. I hadn't lived in this part of the country. We were far from our family, and it just kind of wasn't clicking right away. And so I needed to do some concrete things that would make me feel better about where I lived. And so that was kind of the idea, is to chronicle what place attachment is and how it affects all of us, and how people can create it in their lives. Because it really is something that you probably don't think about, but you know it when you feel it, that feeling of, I'm at home, I love it here, I feel like I belong here, I don't want to move. And when you have that feeling, it has a lot of mental well-being effects that you can imagine. You just kind of feel a little more content with your life, more at peace with your situation. But it also has some surprising health benefits. There was a study in Japan that showed that women who felt attached to their neighborhoods, who knew their neighbors, they liked where they lived, lived on average 6% longer than people who didn't. So it's
wow.
It's important, right? It's important to feel like you're at home somewhere, and it doesn't necessarily have to be because you've lived there your entire life. You can create that feeling even when you've only been in a place a couple years, even when you know you're only going to be there for a year. This is something you can work on.
Wow, Melody, I just feel like this is incredibly timely for us, for my family specifically. Just because we love where we're at right now at Fort Lewis, the Joint Base Lewis-McChord, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're getting ready for this another big, huge PCS back across the country, and our next duty station is not one that we're like, hooray, America. We're like, okay, we'll go, you know, and it's going to be really hard to leave here, and so I feel like I'm totally going to have to get a copy of your book and start studying up before we roll out of here in a few months.
I feel like, especially for military spouses, it's, you know, you're put in places that you didn't choose for yourself, and you have to make it work. And luckily, there are things you can do to make it work.
Well, that's super encouraging. I never really have someone to talk about that. It's either love or hate it, but I think I'm excited. I feel better about life. Thank you for this. Well, you shared the statistic about women loving their communities where they're at, making things a home, living 6% longer. Were there any more surprising things you learned about the place attachment?
Yeah, one of the things that I love about place attachment is how it is kind of a product of your mind. So there was this study done by the Knight Foundation and Gallup called Soul of the Community. They wanted to know what made people love where they live, what made people happy in their towns. And so they surveyed 26,000 people in 26 different cities and towns across the country over 3 years. So some of these were really big cities like Miami or San Jose. Some of them were really small, like Aberdeen, South Dakota. And they would ask people, you know, how well do you like it here? Would you ever move away? And then they would ask these questions to try and figure out what made people satisfied in their town. And you would kind of think it would be something like, we have great schools, or we have great weather, or we have a really responsive local government or a low cost of living or something like that. But what they found is that in city after city, there were three things that really closely correlated with place attachment, that feeling of being at home and happy in your place. And they were really surprising. They were, number one, social offerings. So the sense that there's stuff to do in your town and that you have people to do it with. Number two was aesthetics. It was important to feel like your town was pretty. And number three was openness, or feeling like your town was welcoming to new people. And the really interesting thing to me about this was that it really wasn't a measure of objectively how fantastic your town was. So one of the towns that did the best in this study was Grand Forks, North Dakota, which, you know, most people think of North Dakota and they think the great flyover, what's going on in North Dakota, why would I ever want to go there? But North Dakota actually beat out much bigger cities like Charlotte, North Carolina, and Miami, because even though objectively it's a smaller town and has less to do, you know, it doesn't have a huge stadium or, you know, an arena or something like that, but people felt like there was stuff to do. They felt like it was beautiful. And that's the thing that matters. It's not really whether you live in the number one best town in America. It's whether you think you live in the number one best town in America, whether you feel pretty good about what your town has to offer you. So the nice thing about that is knowing that, you know, even if you're going to that next duty post and you're not excited about it, you've maybe heard some bad things about it, when you get there, if you make the right kinds of efforts, you can feel in the end just as good about it as you would have in a different town. You can change the way you feel and react to your town. You can create your own sense of attachment.
Right. And I love how you brought that together for us as military spouses, because I was going to ask you, do you feel that we can develop place attachment? One thing that the Army does do well, typically in many spots, is the social and family aspect, things to do geared toward military families. But to briefly touch on it, do you feel that we can develop a place attachment even though, and love where we're at currently, even though we know in a couple of years be leaving that and moving on?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you have towns, and I'm sure you've experienced this already. You have places that feel like home faster than other places. You've probably lived in places where you're like, oh man, if I didn't have that new PCS, I would just stay here and be really happy living this place. So sometimes it happens really fast, and sometimes you have to work at it a little more. But I think it's worth the effort. I remember we did grad school in Iowa, and a family moved in that we got to know from church who knew they were only there for a year. The husband was, you know, on a sabbatical or something, and they knew right from the start this was going to last a year. But And, you know, for some people that might be an excuse to just hole up in your apartment and, you know, why should I bother to get to know anyone because I'm not here very long. But they just took this as an opportunity to get to know lots of people, to really get to know the area, to fall in love with it. And they left a year later with tons of friends who missed them when they moved away, that super fond feelings about Iowa. And so even though it didn't last during that 1 year, they had a great experience. And in fact, when the opportunity arose several years later, they moved back to Iowa because they had loved it so much. So, you know, I think when you know you're only going to be in a place for a little while, there is a temptation to just put your head down and muscle through and not really engage. But I think it's the engagement with other people and with events and things like that that makes you satisfied.
Right. Do you have a favorite Love Where You Live experiment? And why is that?
So I have a really easy one. One of my guiding principles as I learned more about place attachment became every town is good at something and you should do what your town is good at. It kind of relates to what I said earlier about the Knight Foundation study that social offerings, feeling like your town has stuff to do, makes you feel happier where you live. It increases your chance of place attachment. So moving here from Austin, Texas, which is a decent-sized city and has a lot going on, it's kind of famous for its music scene and it has some cool museums and things like that, to a town of 43,000 that is a little bit in the middle of nowhere. It was a shock. You know, we'd get to the weekend and we'd be like, what are we doing? Another Netflix marathon, hooray. So I made an effort for one of my Love Where You Live experiments to do something fun and to do something that my town was good at, that my town was known for. And even if it was something that I didn't particularly love, to just sort of give the town's talents a chance to shine. And the thing that I realized that my town was good at and that I hadn't really appreciated was football. And I guess, you know, if you're a football fan listening, you probably will argue with the assertion that the Hokies are good at football. You know, that's, I'm sure can lead to a lot of arguments, but Blacksburg loves football. You know, people around here get really into tailgating, and I'm not a huge football fan. I say hesitantly because some people get really angry about that. But I decided that if I was going to live in this town and be part of what was going on here, I had to sort of learn to appreciate the football culture here and enjoy it. And so, you know, one day I took my daughter to the sports museum under the stadium at Virginia Tech, and we looked around, and we've gone to a few football games. And, you know, at first I was the person sitting there going, okay, what's going on now? What's happening? I don't get it. But I learned that I could appreciate some things about it. There's a tradition for the Hokies when they play at Lane Stadium, the song that plays as they come in is Enter Sandman by Metallica. And it blasts out and people jump up and down as the football team runs in. And it's just this huge thing in Blacksburg. And I have gotten really into that. Like, you know, I don't follow football that much. I may not understand all the plays, but I get excited about Enter Sandman and jumping up and down. So I think, you know, every town has the thing that they're good at. It might be, you know, they put on a poetry festival or plays or, you know, they have music in the park or something. So you have to learn to hunt out the thing that your town excels at and embrace it, even if it may not have been the thing that you wanted. Maybe you prefer Disneyland and this is not Disneyland, but you can still enjoy it, and it makes you feel like you're part of what's going on in your town.
Well, Melody, I am loving our conversation, and I'm learning a lot. But we do have a super quick break, so when we come back, let's plan on talking about how parents can help their children love the place they live, because I know that my husband and I have already started talking about how we can help our 3-year-old firecracker daughter, Karis, transition from Washington to Georgia in a few months and what that looks like. So let's definitely do that when we come back. But in the meantime, listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in the Twitter chat. So pop on over there and join the conversation to ask questions of our guest by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and using the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab up at the top to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Radio in just a moment.
Are you looking for a new career but don't qualify for MyCAA funding? CareerStep can help. Partnerships, scholarships, and other funding sources that provide military service members, veterans, spouses, and other family members with career training programs for as little as $180. CareerStep's flexible online programs allow you to complete your coursework at your own pace, when it fits your schedule. Choose from a number of in-demand careers like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine Rethink, Reset, Renew Health Minute. June is Men's Health Month, and we ask you to encourage all of the men in your life to take a proactive approach to improve their health. Together, we can impact preventable disease through regular checkups and screenings. Encourage your loved ones to get the right amount of sleep, stay active throughout the day, and eat a variety of nutrient-rich foods. The Army's Performance Triad focuses on good habits of sleep, activity, and nutrition, and encourages everyone to be active participants in their health, wellness, and disease prevention. Reassure the men in your life they can take an active role in their health by practicing moderation and simply tracking what they eat, how long they sleep, and how active they are. Wearable technology devices or apps can help with their efforts. They can work with their healthcare team to understand their baseline health and values such as blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, weight and body mass index through regular physicals and age-appropriate health screenings. Encourage the men in your life to discuss any concerns or health risks. For more information on sleep activity and nutrition, visit www.armymedicine.mil. Army Medicine is serving to heal and honor to serve.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your co-host, Crystal Niehoff, and I'm excited because it's time to announce the winner of our book giveaway this evening. So, drum roll, please. The winner is Janae Atkins. Congratulations, Janae. We'll be getting with you to get your address so that we can get a copy of This Is Where You Belong in the mail to you as soon as possible.
Tonight, we're talking with Melanie Warnick, author of This Is Where You Belong, The Art of Science of Loving the Place You Live. Before we went to break, we were talking about one of Melanie's favorite Love Where You Live experiments. So, Melanie, what is some advice you can offer parents to help their children adjust to a new community as they move around?
So, I have a friend, Jen, who is an Army wife, and she's moving to Fort Drum in upstate New York this summer with her family. And this is what she had to say, which I think sums it up pretty well. If mom is super excited to move and talks all the time about how awesome it's going to be, then the kids will get excited too. And I think that's really true. Part of place attachment is just kind of embracing where you live. It's a bloom where you're planted mentality. And so you need to train your kids to do that too, to enjoy where they are. I think before you move, there's a lot of things you can do to get them pumped up about where they're going. You know, get books about the place you're headed, or get on Instagram and look for pictures of the place, you know, hashtag the name of your town, or videos on YouTube, anything that will show them that there's something cool to look forward to in the town where they're going. And then I think once you're there, again, just anything you can do to make it seem like this is a fun adventure instead of a huge bummer. I think it's good to let your kids keep in touch with their old friends. You know, I had one friend who, before they moved, went around and took photos of every place in the city that their kids found meaningful. You know, even if it was like a picture in front of Trader Joe's, and they made a photo book, and this was a way to remember the old town. And I think those things are good. I don't think loving your new place means forgetting your old place. But I think when you move to the new town, you can kind of make it a party for as long as you can, which is hard to say because moving is really stressful. It's stressful on parents, and you've lost your support network of friends and babysitters and daycare and things like that. But, you know, for instance, you can make a family challenge to try every ice cream shop in town or every donut store, or, you know, make a scavenger hunt of, you know, a list of things you need to find in the downtown area. Find, you know, a cool bird or a statue or whatever. You know, things that will get you and your family out exploring. I think also making friends is really the number one best thing you can do for yourself and your kids to feel more settled in a new place and to feel happy there. And that can sometimes happen really quickly, and sometimes it takes a little while. But I know when we moved to Blacksburg, my oldest daughter was going into fifth grade, and my youngest daughter was about to start kindergarten. We moved during the summer, and I knew there would be a few weeks before they really had a chance to meet new kids at school. So I did some research beforehand, and I signed them up for summer camps. They both went to an art summer camp, and you know, they may not have met lifelong friends, but they had some social interaction for a while that made them feel okay about it. And I think that can work. You know, you sign your kid up for the soccer team, or the activity that they were doing in the old town, you try and carry it over into the new town and help them realize you made friends back there, you'll make friends here. And I think until that moment of making friends, you can still have a good experience. Connecting with the nature in your town is important. So anything you can do to get out and hike or kayak or experience the creeks and lakes, whatever your area has to offer, will help your kids form a sense of attachment to that place. My last suggestion is walk or ride your bikes. There was a study done that showed that, you know, the researcher asked children to draw maps of their neighborhood just from memory based on, you know, what they knew about it, and to fill in as many details as they could about houses and trees and things like that. And the kids who had ridden bikes a lot around the neighborhood did a beautiful job. They drew far more details and made far more accurate maps than kids who were always in a car. So I think it's important to, you know, take family bike rides or walks around the neighborhood. The other advantage of that is you're out in front of your house, you're on the street, and that gives people a chance to go, hey, there's a new family, let's meet them. Even, you know, something as kind of dumb as taking your dinner out onto your front lawn and eating it out there. You know, it's kind of a weird fishbowl experience, but it gives your neighbors a chance to see you and, you know, connect with you, and that leads you down that road to making friends and feeling like you're not completely alone.
Right. Now, what are some of the biggest benefits of taking the time to get to know your neighbors then?
Well, I think, you know, place is geography, and the closest geography you have around you is your neighborhood. I think when you're on a military base, especially if you're living on post, chances are really good that your neighbors are people who have a lot in common with you and who may be willing to support you in the same way that, you know, they know that you need support and they're willing to offer it and you can offer it in return. But there's actually some kind of amazing health benefits too to getting to know your neighbors and developing a sense of trust. There are studies that show that people who know and trust their neighbors are 48% less likely to have a stroke and 67% less likely to have a heart attack than people who don't know their neighbors, which is kind of startling and amazing. Yeah, when you think about it, it's kind of a dramatic figure. And it's good for your kids, too. There were studies that I discovered as I was researching place attachment. One study showed that parents were less likely to abuse or neglect their kids if they lived in a neighborhood where they were willing to ask their neighbors for help and they were willing to let their kids go out and play with other kids. So that sense of neighborly support helped parents deal with life better than if you feel all alone. So, you know, there are some easy ways to do it. I'm a total introvert. And so there's a part of me that, you know, when I come home at night, I sort of want to be left alone. I kind of have to force myself to get to know my neighbors a little. And honestly, I'm not the kind of person who's just like always hanging out outside. Just, hey, what's going on? But I made some really specific efforts to get to know my neighbors. The first thing was just I made muffins and I took them around. There, you know, there's a day in September that is called Good Neighbor Day. And I took muffins around and it was amazing the reaction I got. Just people were completely bowled over and excited, you know, banana muffins. Oh my gosh, you made my life. Once I did that, then I developed these relationships. You know, our next door neighbors, we had them over for dinner and they had us over for dinner. And not long after that, I had daycare emergency and I ran over and said, you know, can my daughter come over to your house after school? And they're like, yes, of course. And so, you know, even if your neighbors aren't necessarily people you want to hang out with all the time, it's wise to develop those connections. It makes life easier and it makes life more satisfying in your place. One woman I talked to who lived in Indianapolis developed a tradition called, simply enough, Sunday night dinner. And she and about 8 families in her neighborhood took turns hosting a dinner on Sunday night. And when it was your turn to host, you provided all the food and, you know, the beverages, and other people just got to show up and eat. And it was this way that, you know, through the years, they kept in touch a lot more effectively than Facebook. I think sometimes with social media, we think it feels like we're connected. You know, it feels like we have a lot of friends because we're having these social media interactions. But it's not quite the same as doing it in real life with people face-to-face who live around you, because I may have great friends on Facebook, but I can't ask them to watch my kid when my daycare falls through.
Yeah, well, as always, I have a lot of – I'm very blessed to have a lot of online connections, but there's just something about going from URL to IRL, you know, going to online to IRL in real life. I just appreciate that. And Melody, before we move on, could you repeat those numbers really quick that you said about heart attack and stroke? We want to catch those really great, surprising statistics. What were those stats again?
So if you are a person who knows and trusts your neighbors, you know, like you're someone who has some interactions with your neighbors and you like them, you are 48% less likely to have a stroke and 67% less likely to have a heart attack.
Oh my gosh, that is motivation to make some brownies and go meet my neighbors. Holy cow, that's
right.
Awesome.
And there was another study that showed, you know, even if you're married, you're happily married, and you have a lot of support from your family, there's still an added separate benefit to getting to know your neighbors. So it's worth doing, even if you feel like, you know, you have a full life and you have friends, it's worth making an effort to get to know people who actually live on your street.
Yeah, like I have people in my neighborhood. This is probably the first place that we've really gotten to know our neighbors, and it's made such a difference because, like, in my job in ministry, like, there are crises that come up randomly, and I'm like, can you watch my toddler? Like, I got to go to the hospital with someone. And so, or just,
right.
Like, we want a date night. Our parents, you know, the grandparents are 2,800 miles away, we would just like to have a grown-up conversation for an hour. Please? You know, so I can be that. Like, I am like a healthier person because of that.
Right,
Melody,
exactly.
I have one more question for you tonight, because I know that some of our core team is actually already ahead of the game, and a couple of them have already ordered your book, and I plan to shortly. But we would love for you to share with our listeners where they can go to find out more and to purchase your book.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book is This Is Where You Belong, The Art and Science of Loving the Place You Live. It actually releases from Viking which is part of Penguin, next Tuesday, June 21st. So right now, you can pre-order it on basically any website that sells books, like Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. You can also go to IndieBound, which is a website that will point you toward a local independent bookstore near where you live. There are benefits to buying local, so I always try and push that. You can also go to my website, which is just my name, MelodyWarnick.com, and it has buy links and a little more background on me and the book and fun stuff like that.
Wow. Well, you can be guaranteed that you're going to have at least one more copy pre-ordered probably by the time the night is over, because I'm
awesome.
I just so enjoyed our conversation. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your heart, your passion, all your work and research with us. I know that it's going to benefit me tremendously, but I know it'll also really benefit our listeners as well and all the Army Wife Network community. So thank you so much, Melanie. Appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Well, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, June 20th, 2016, our feature guest will be Brigadier General Terry Jurich, the U.S. Air Force retired, here to discuss the 20th anniversary for Virginia Women's Military Institute. It's going to be another great show, and you don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.